The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM in Olympia, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 21st, 2018. This week's show is about the information industrial complex. But last week, the technical difficulties over at Chaos continued, and listeners heard three parts of two different shows that were disconnected from each other and bisected by other things, and I'm sure listeners found all of that very confusing. My apologies. I hope it works this week. Before we begin, though, I would like to share a message from one of our newest sponsors.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ann, the blonde you love to hate, with the best news since faith-based reality. Now the internet can be on your side, thanks to AlternativeFacts.com. Imagine an alternative answer to any question, a way to free yourself and your family and friends from the tyranny of Google and Wikipedia. Our patented Alternative Facts Generator engine harnesses cutting-edge artificial intelligence technology to produce believable fact-related answers to your questions. Any question, anytime, 24/7. But here's the key to why AlternativeFacts.com will change your life. Through what our data mining system already knows about you, the answers are personalized to you and what you already believe and know. No more embarrassment in front of friends, family, or employers. For any device, for your entire connected world, AlternativeFacts.com connects you to the answers you want. Designed by top professionals in the field, AlternativeFacts.com doesn't look like some scuzzy fake news site because it isn't one. It's the same alternative fact generator engine used by top professionals, and now their secret is yours too. But don't take my word for it, even though I'm being paid to not lie to you. Try AlternativeFacts.com on a free 10-day trial. We're so sure you'll want to subscribe after those 10 days, we'll already sign you up. What have you got to lose? Except self-doubt. AlternativeFacts.com. Our truth will set you free.
Welcome to the Thunderbolt, where we take political elitism to ever newer and even more annoying heights. Yes, it is September 21st, 2018. And as of now, Donald Trump has still not made America great again. So as I sat perusing the news this week, I couldn't help but note that not only has Donald Trump failed to make America great again, but indeed, the entire world continues its headlong plunge toward disaster. You know, there's a large group of people, in fact, who are convinced that humanity is going to become extinct within the next 20 or 30 years. And they have a pretty impressive array of evidence to back their suppositions. There is even a Facebook group dedicated to helping such people emotionally deal with our impending extinction. In fact, there is even a Doomer Humor page where people make jokes about it. So if we view the world from a purely empirical standpoint, they are probably right. However, even if I buy into their analysis, I suspect I am simply emotionally incapable of accepting our impending demise, even if I were to be intellectually convinced of the fact. Yes, kids, I have found that giving up all hope is something that you can always put off until tomorrow. And so, in light of all this, and in light of the pure insanity that permeates our public affairs these days, one of the things that truly amazes me is how normal everyday life still seems to be. Everyone is carrying out their affairs, their jobs, their loves. And we are all conducting our daily business as if nothing were amiss. And this is in spite of the fact that we are in the middle of the largest mass extinction event since the time of the dinosaurs. And this is in spite of the fact that the situation is only looking to become exponentially worse in the very near future. Now, while I work full-time to counter all of this, even my efforts seem almost superfluous, as all indicators are indicating that no matter what I do, our civilization is about to collapse into a fiery apocalypse that will cause death, misery, and suffering unprecedented in all human history. There is quite a bit of that history. At least billions of us with a B are likely to die, and it is not too preposterous to consider that all of us might die. And what truly, really epically sucks about this is that it was completely unnecessary. We absolutely did not have to end up here. Almost all of this was done in order to produce some short-term profits for a small handful of people. And not only that, but these were people who already owned several times as much as any human being has any business owning. Yes, kids, billions of people are likely to die soon so that this small handful of people can be ultra-rich. They seem to think they can survive what's about to hit us. But I would suggest that they should read some history. For the storms that they unleash often sweep them away right along with everyone else. And I can just about guarantee that this one will absolutely be no exception. And besides, who would even want to live in such a world? So anyway, at this point, I guess I'm just hoping that we can find that 100th monkey. Because frankly, I don't really see anything else. And if we are indeed going to be saved by some cosmic consciousness shift in the human paradigm, then you will never know who that 100th monkey might be. And so that is why I keep doing what I do. Why, I would be perfectly happy if I could even just wake up the 99th monkey. And meanwhile, Walmart is exploring options for bugging their customers and their employees. Shock gas. Walmart's parent corporation just recorded a patent for sensor devices that will allow them to eavesdrop on their customers and employees. Their patent describes a system of sensors that will be distributed throughout at least a portion of a shopping facility. So watch what you say. And watching what you say does not only apply to Walmart. The government machine is also listening to you. Yes, they are recording everything you say on the phone. They're recording everything that you text. Everything you email, and everything you buy. They can track all your associations. They can tap into your financial transactions. And they can read your medical records. No, they do not have someone listening in on your call to your grandmother. They do not pay any attention whatsoever to even a significant fraction of this tsunami of data that they collect every day. However, if you ever find yourself on their radar anytime in the future, then they already have all they need to know about nearly everything they may need to know about you for whatever purpose they may wish to know it. Information is their new weapon. And data is their new arsenal. So a whole bunch of people made a lot of money off of World War II. And a lot of other people made exciting military careers out of World War II. And by the end of World War II, the United States was the only industrial power on the planet that had not just been leveled by war. The United States was manufacturing over half of all the goods on the entire planet at the time. And the United States was taking in well over half of all the profits on the entire planet at the time. And
back those good old boys were having such a good old time, and they were making so much money, that they decided they were going to create a permanent wartime economy.
Yes, they knew that if they could implant a permanent wartime economy into the minds of the citizenry, then they could get away with lots of secrets and lots of repression and lots of ignoring people's civil liberties, and they could continue making the big bucks and the big careers by manufacturing, deploying mass death and mass destruction. So immediately after World War II, one of the first things that the war machine did was to weld the security state into place by passing the National Security Act of 1947. And this act completely reorganized the military. It created the Air Force. But most significantly, this act established the National Security Council and the Central Intelligence Agency. Then they ginned up the Cold War with the Soviet Union, and this became a time when children in schoolrooms across the country, including me, were regularly doing drills wherein we crawled underneath our desks, curled into a ball, and held our hands over our heads. They told us that this might save us in the event of a nuclear detonation. Yeah, right. Actually, of course, this was an earlier historical instance of security theater, wherein the purpose is not to protect people, but to terrify them. Yes, we were hiding underneath Potemkin desks. So in order to perpetuate a perpetual wartime economy, they needed to perpetuate a perpetual war. Thus, World War II was barely over before Korea blew up. And that began a large number of major American military interventions into every corner of the entire planet that has continued unabated to this day. Currently, the United States has a military presence in 150 of the planet's 190 countries. In addition to all that, we arm and train various groups of terrorist psychopaths and brutal totalitarian governments in places as diverse as Saudi Arabia and Venezuela. Since World War II, our government has overthrown popular and democratically elected governments in Iran, in Guatemala, in Chile, in the Congo, in Nicaragua. And they've overthrown other governments and countries such as Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and many others. And virtually all of the current refugee crisis, which is the worst since World War II, can also be laid at the door of the same American government that is now denying refugee status to those very same people. Since World War II, the United States government has been unleashing lethal violence that has collectively killed many more innocent people than even Adolf Hitler could claim. And then there are the indirect interventions. The Iraq-Iran War, which was largely instigated by the United States, and during which both sides were being armed and funded by the United States in the hope of marginalizing, if not destroying, both countries. The Iraq-Iran War also killed millions of both soldiers and civilians, and that war almost certainly would have never happened without American meddling and goading. And as for recent events in Yemen, which is the biggest human rights catastrophe in recent history, well, those also would never have happened without American money and logistical support. Yes, kids, in Yemen, the rump has actually managed to kill more innocent civilians in his first 6 months in office than the drone King Obama managed to kill in his entire 8 years. With the collapse of the Soviet Union in the 80s, the war machine thus needed new boogeymen with which to terrify people and with which to justify their endless war. And thus enter the terrorist. Now, in many ways, the war on terror is superior to conventional war, for their purposes anyway, in that in this era of weaponized data, mass surveillance of American citizens is much more justifiable during a war on terror than it would be in a more conventional war. In addition, a war on a tactic rather than upon a specific enemy could theoretically just keep going on forever, just like they want. For after all, how do you ever defeat a tactic? Anyway, the threat of terrorism became carte blanche for total surveillance. The machine decided that the organizing principle of their brave new world order would not be military hardware, but data itself. They realized that with the computer age and with the surveillance capabilities that the computer age made possible, then they could weaponize data and information itself. Yes, kids, welcome to the age of the information industrial complex. Now, all of this is being done to make money and consolidate power. We now live in a world where large corporations not only regularly get caught engaging in business practices that are killing large numbers of people, but it is almost invariably also learned that they knew they were killing large numbers of people for years beforehand. But that, in the name of profit, they continued the practices nonetheless. The thalidomide scandal, the exploding Ford Pinto scandal, the asbestos scandal, the GM ignition switch scandal, on and on, over and over. These people have proven over and over again that they are willing to murder your family if there is enough profit in doing so. And they no longer even need to worry all that much about getting caught. For other than some bad PR, there are usually, virtually, no other consequences. Not only are the murderers never prosecuted, but they usually don't even lose their jobs. At worst, a token fine that represents a small fraction of the profit they made from their murder conspiracy is leveled against the shareholders. I.e., this fine is against other innocent people that had nothing to do with the murders other than the fact that they had inadvertently hired the murderers. And even this only comes about after years of litigation and millions of dollars spent. And it is these people's interests that the information industrial complex seeks to protect. And we will be back with part two of the information industrial complex in just a moment. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. All right. So you may want to hold on to something because it's time for part two of the Information Industrial Complex. As Secretary of Defense under George H.W. Bush, Dick Cheney commissioned a study from a private contractor called Halliburton. And he commissioned this study from this private contractor to determine whether the U.S. military should start using more private contractors. And then, after leaving office, Dick Cheney became the president of Halliburton. Then after that, he left Halliburton to become the vice president of the United States. In which capacity, he was instrumental in starting a war that not only heavily relied upon no-bid contracts that were awarded to Halliburton, but these were contracts that were based on the very same recommendation that Cheney had hired Halliburton to make in that original study that Cheney had himself commissioned from Halliburton. Yes, it's like this little closed circle. How cute. And these links
between the corporate state and the information industrial complex are deep and they are insoluble. And the links betwixt the corporate state and the security state are also deep and insoluble. Google Earth was originally the brainchild of Keyhole Incorporated, which is itself a company that was set up by NQTEL. And NQTEL, as I have mentioned numerous times here in the Thunderbolt, is the venture capital arm of the Central Intelligence Agency. Google Earth uses satellite data that is harvested largely from government keyhole class reconnaissance satellites. The former CEO of NQTEL, Gilman Louie, sat on the board of the National Venture Capital Association, along with Jim Breyer, head of Accel Partners, who provided $12 million of seed money for Facebook in 1999, a backdoor for NSA access was discovered in Microsoft Windows operating system source code. Through an FDA request, it was discovered that Apple founder Steve Jobs was granted security clearance by the Department of Defense for still undisclosed reasons when he was heading Pixar back in 1988, as was the former head of AT&T, as were numerous other CEOs and many others in the tech industry. In fact, the development of the entire IT industry was in fact intimately intertwined with the Department of Defense and its various branches, including, of course, DARPA, and including, of course, the Central Intelligence Agency. Even a cursory glance at the history of such companies as the Meter Corporation, Oracle, and many other household electronics and software firms is enough to expose the extent of these relations and the existence of the information industrial complex. Yes, the security state has become omnipresent and nearly omnipotent. While Edward Snowden has received the most attention, much of the information about the NSA's ability to surveil all electronic communications has been revealed over the past decade by NSA whistleblowers like Russ Tice, William Binney, Thomas Drake, and J. Kirk Wiebe, along with third-party contractors like Snowden and AT&T whistleblower Mark Klein. We also have independent journalists like James Banford to thank. Together, the story they tell is of a truly Orwellian society in which all communications are being captured and analyzed by the NSA, and with the advent of facilities like the new data center in Utah, presumably stored indefinitely for use at any future time in any future investigation for any pretense by anyone with authorization to access that data. According to Snowden, this includes lowly third-party contractors such as himself operating at NSA subcontractors like Booz Allen Hamilton. And in the vast and expanding private intelligence industry that has grown up around the information industrial complex, in the exact same way as private military contractors like Blackwater formed around the military industrial complex. And in some ways, this new security state is even more insidious than the military state, as at least the military required a pretext for action, and much of their action is conducted in plain sight, whereas the security state operates in near total secrecy. And it takes whistleblowers and insiders willing to risk it all to even find out what is being done by these creepy, sneaky, shadow people and their private sector contractors. And making everything even worse is the fact that this entire Orwellian cluster frig is being justified on the flimsiest of pretenses, i.e., the war on terror.
Are you crazy?
No, they're not crazy at all. For you see, their justification uses a pretense that has no defined end point. And this original pretense is justified using yet other pretenses that in turn justify turning that spy grid inward toward the American people rather than toward foreign threats. So I could go on and on about all this. The connections between the IT world and the government's military and intelligence apparatuses runs deep, but the details can camouflage the bottom line. The point here is that their machine consists of a purely evil gang of frigging psychopaths and murderers who you don't even want around you, much less having anything to do with running our world. And the fact is that they are stealing everything that we make. And the fact is that they are destroying the very environmental infrastructure that makes our very existence even possible. And here's the bottom line to the bottom line. They can only get away with doing what they do because we allow them to. They have the money, but we have the numbers. Without us, they have nothing, whereas without them, we have everything. They need us. We don't need them, no matter what their propaganda says.
And we need to take back first our lives, and then we need to take back our world. It is time to get to work. Yes. So that is it for the news and commentary section this week. Olympia listeners, go to our local activist events calendar. And for Seattle listeners, I have some music. And for this first piece this week, please keep in mind that I've been collecting music all my adult life, and sometimes that included copying other people's music cassette tapes a long time ago, and I must admit that I don't know who this is, and I don't know the name of the song, but this song fits so perfectly into the show this week that I'm going to play it anyway. And judging from the lyrics, I'm pretty sure this artist would not mind that I'm doing that. In addition, there's also a short introduction to this piece that I'm pretty sure is Seymour Hersh, but I'm not even 100% sure of that. So let's do it.
The media, parts of the Congress, which is now shown to be true, even parts of the judiciary, these 15 bogus judges that approved 36,000 FISA requests and turned out 11. When you get them all entangled here, you have something very much approaching what Benito Mussolini defined as fascism. Do not blanch before the word.
Do what I say, don't do what I do. I know what you do because I'm watching you. Don't you question it, don't you doubt it. Don't even think about thinking about it. God has my witness, life is a business, and busy, busy bees get money for legitness. You're a machine in which a lot has been invested. Now do what you're told before you get yourself arrested. I just want to do what I want to do. Don't you want to do what you want to do? I just came to say what I had to say. Put that shit on lock and throw the keys. You see these borders and you see these lines.
To do what you want that paperwork, and it does appear that she indicated to the sheriff's office that she had tried to kill herself at least once. I believe she indicated that was with pills. I don't believe there was any indication.
These are liars. Police liars. Coroner liar. District attorney liar. Judge liar. Justice Department liar. Attorney General, liar, liar.
When you talk to young people, you can't feel that you're missing them. You can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk.
They're ready to kill us. And guess what? I'm going to die for what I stand for. I'm going to die for what I stand for. They lock us up for phony charges and lie about what we charge with. They plant bills on us. They strip searches us. They do whatever they want. You can't do whatever you want.
Family.
We can't do what we want, so why can't they do what they want? Just because they got bands?
Damn it, if we can't get justice, if we can't have peace, if our children are dying in the streets and there's no redress for our grievances, why the hell should we stay here and continue to live like this and then join an army and go somewhere and fight for the same damn enemy that's doing what he's doing to us? We got to make a decision, and there's not much time left to play with life and to play with the future of our children. And all these weak leaders that are apologists for tyranny, they have to get out of the way.
last night a dream that the world had turned around. All our hopes had come to be, and the people gathered around. They all brought what they could bring, and nobody went with that. A hundred and a song to sing. The revolution starts now.
The revolution starts now, from Steve Earle. Before that, we had Liars from Omar Offendum. And before that, we had a song I call Watching You from an unknown artist. And that is it for the Thunderbolt this week. But never fear, I'll be back next week. Or maybe you should fear. Have a good one. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.